नमो ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेषिताय भूत श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देव गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यादर्श अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर जॉइनिंग टुडेज सेशन। Last week we started discussing from the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. We will continue that discussion. But before I will do a quick recap of what we have seen till now. Towards in the third and fourth chapters, Krishna described about Kama Karma Yoga. And in the fifth chapter, Krishna spoke about Jnana Yoga. As we saw, there are two types of jnana yoga, which is karma sannyas and grihastha sannyas. And in the fifth chapter, Krishna comparing karma sannyas and grihastha sannyas, he mentioned that grihastha sannyas is better because it is safer. But essentially, Krishna spoke about the path of jnana yoga in the fifth chapter. Even though he talks about performing actions, but all those verses which describe the performance of actions is for a grihastha sannyasi who performs Nishkama Karma Yoga type 2, which is what Srila Prabhupada calls as action in Krishna consciousness. But actually it is not action in Krishna consciousness, it is action on the platform of jnana. That's what Krishna is talking about in that particular chapter. But because jnana is practically not possible, Prabhupada describes that chapter as action in Krishna consciousness. But in reality, that was talking action in on the platform of jnana, which is essentially grihastha sannyas. That's exactly that chapter spoke about. Towards the end of that chapter, having described jnana, he in the last three verses, Krishna introduced path of Ashtanga Yoga also. As a prelude to this chapter, towards the end of the fifth chapter, Krishna introduces Ashtanga Yoga. And then this particular chapter starts. Krishna starts this chapter by telling, Anashrita Karma Phalam Karyam Karma Karoti Yaha Sa sanyasi cha yogi cha na jagnir na chakriya. He says that Arjuna understand whether we are talking about a sanyasi or a yogi. A real sanyasi or a real yogi, the symptom is internal detachment from the roots of the actions. That is the real symptom of either sanyas or yoga. It is not externally giving up of one's duties, varnashrama duties. That is not a reliable symptom, because even an irresponsible person can give up his varnashrama duties. A person who has not properly understood the process of purification through Nishkama Karma Yoga, he may prematurely give up his varnashrama duties. So, such persons, even though they have given up varnashrama duties, they may not necessarily be qualified for sannyas or yoga. On the other hand, a person with a pure heart may even be practicing the limbs of varnashrama, but he is considered to be sannyasi. Gayasya nitya sannyasi yonad veshti nakankshati nirdandvohi mahabaho sukam bandhat pramuchyate. Like that Krishna in the fifth chapter describes this grihastha sannyasi who is even engaged in his actions of varna and ashrama, because of his internal detachment from the fruits of those activities, is considered to be a sannyasi. So Krishna starts the sixth chapter on Ashtanga Yoga on the same note. He says a true sannyasi, a true Ashtanga Yogi, is one who has internal detachment from the fruits of his actions and not externally use of actions. Okay. Then he says, Yam sannyasam iprahur yogam tam viddi pandava नहीं असन्यस्त संकल्पो योगी भवति कश्चन. इसे ओ अर्जुना, योगा एंड संन्यास आर एसेंशियली द सेम. वन हु हैज नॉट गिवन अप द अटैच्ड फ्रूट्स ऑफ हिज एक्शंस इज नेवर अ योगी नॉर अ संन्यासी, राइट. देन ही सेज आरुरुक्षोर मुनेर योगम कर्म कारण उच्यते योगारूढस्य तस्यैव शम कारण उच्यते. सो देयर फोर इन द बिगिनिंग स्टेजेस ऑफ इन द बिगिनिंग स्टेजेस ऑफ वन्स प्रैक्टिस ऑफ योग इट इज वेरी क्रिटिकल दैट वन परफॉर्म्स वन्स ड्यूटीज ऑफ निष्काम कर्म योग टू प्यूरिफाई वन सेल्फ एंड डेवलप डिटैचमेंट फ्रॉम द फ्रूट्स ऑफ एक्शंस. So till one achieves that, even on the form of yoga, one should perform Nishkama Karma Yoga. So in the beginning stages of Nishkama Karma Yoga, which is called as Yoga Rurukshu, in that stage, one should practice Nishkama Karma Yoga. But Yoga Rudasya Tasteva Shamakarana Muchate. But when one reaches the stage of meditation, then should give up one's attachment to performing Nishkama Karma Yoga, because it is not possible for him to, you know, during his meditation, he can't leave his meditation in between, go and perform his Sandhya Vandan rites and then come back and continue his meditation. That is possible. So in the beginning stages, when the heart is not yet pure, at that stage it is important that one continues to practice Nishkama Karma Yoga. But when the heart becomes pure, then one should give it up. यदा हि नेन्द्रियार्थेषु न कर्मसु अनुषज्यते सर्वसंपसन्यासी योगारूढस्तदोच्यते. वाट आर द सिम्टम्स ऑफ अ पर्सन हु हैज अचीव्ड द क्वालिफिकेशन टू प्रैक्टिस द योगारूढ स्टेज. सो ही सेज यदा हि अनुषज्यते, व्हेन अ पर्सन हैज एब्सोल्युटली नो अटैचमेंट टू इंद्रियार्थेषु कर्मसु, टू ईदर objects of sense gratification, or he has no attachment to the activities which lead to enjoying the objects of gratification. So when a person has no attachment either to sense objects or to actions to attain those sense objects, sarva sankalpa sanyasi, having renounced all material desires, yoga rudas tadochyate. So that person is called as is fit to be at the stage of Yoga Ruda when he has given up all desires for enjoying the fruits of the actions and also actions to attain those fruits. So such a person is at the stage of Yoga Ruda and he can give up his Varnashrama duties. Uddared Atmanatmanam Atmanam Avasadaye Atmaivahi Atmano Vand Atmaivaripur Atmana. He says that one should deliver the soul by the mind. It is the mind which is very critical, which plays a very critical role in the journey of the soul. So one can either degrade when the mind be attracted to material things, it slows down the soul's progress, or the mind can also become the friend and the mind is controlled. So mind can be the friend or mind can be the enemy. Banduratmanastasya yenatmai vatmanajitah anatmanastu shatrutve vartet atmaiva shatruva. The mind is a friend of that soul which has conquered the mind, but the mind is an enemy of that soul which has not managed to conquer the mind. So jitatmana prashantasya paramatma samahitah shitoshna sukadukkeshu tata mana apamanayoho. So then he describes the various symptoms of a person who has reached the stage yoga ruda or the elevated stage of yoga. He says jitatmanah, he has conquered the mind, which means mind is not attached to objects of sense gratification. Mind is not meditating on objects of sense gratification. Prashantasya, he is devoid of all kinds of attachment. So such a person, Atma Param Samahitaha. So his mind is not attached to anything of this material world. Rather, the mind is meditating on the Paramatma within. Okay. It's completely in deep trance, samadhi. Shita, Ushna, Sukha, Dukkha, Mana, Apamana. In all these states of Shita, Ushna is dualities in the platform of body. Sukha, Dukkha is dualities in the platform of mind. And Mana, Apamana is dualities on the platform of the false ego. So, despite dualities on at these three levels, the person is actually samahitaha. He is completely in deep trance. So such a person is actually fit for, he is a person at the stage of Yoga Ruda. Jnana Vijnana Triptatma Kutastho Vijitendriyaha Yukta Iti Ucchate Yogi Samstrashma Kanchanaha. So he says that Jnana Vijnana Triptatma, such a person is satisfied by the scriptural teachings and realization. Kutastaha. Kutastaha means he is pervaded by one nature. So that pervaded by one nature is indicated. We saw that he is not like swayed by the dualities. So, tata mana apamana yoho. Shita ushna sukha dukkha mana apamana. You know, he is kutastha. He is pervaded by one nature. And Vijitendriya, such a person has completely controlled his senses. Sama loshtra ashma kanchana. And he considers earth, stone and gold as the same. We saw last time, not that he lacks discrimination to see the difference between these three things. But in terms of utility, because he has no material attachment, because he has no desire to enjoy things of this world, therefore, in terms of utility, he sees them as having same utility or non-utility for him. In that sense, he sees them as the same, not that he has lost the ability to make material differentiations or discrimination. Right? So, then he says, Suhrin Mitra Yudasina Madhyastha Dvesha Bandushu. Sadhushu apicha papu samabuddhir vishishyate. And even when he progresses even further, then he is not swayed by these various kinds of relations which generate various kinds of emotions. For example, a well-wisher or a friend or an enemy, a sinner or a pious person, in their contact, one develops various kinds of emotions. Whereas a person at the stage of Yoga Ruda is not affected by those emotions. Suhrin Mitrari Udasa Madhyastha Dvesha Bandhusu Sadhushu Apicha Papeshu Samabuddhir Vishishyate. And this kind of this is an even aided stage than to see a stone or gold or a piece of iron at the same level. Okay. So these were the various kinds of symptoms of a person at the stage of Yoga Ruda, the elevated stage of yoga that we saw. So now we are going to continue this discussion about, and we are going to see some verses which are going to describe about the practice of Ashtanga Yoga. It is practiced. But before we go into that section, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add based on what we have discussed till now or whatever we discussed last week, and please go ahead. Ramacharya Prabhu.
Dhanrod Prabhu.
Dhanrod Prabhu.
Prabhuji, just wanted to clarify. I'm a little bit confused, so I wanted to rephrase it. So if I understand correctly, for Jnana Yogi, in the stage one, his prescribed duty is Nishkam Karma Yoga. And when he gets to stage two, then he can be Ashtanga Yogi, like Yoga Rudha and and another one, I forgot the name, but Yoga Ruksha, something like that. So in the first stage, okay.
Okay. So after practicing Nishkama Karma Yoga, when the heart becomes pure, so then he has two options, either to practice Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga. Okay. And the initial stages of Ashtanga Yoga, when Nishkama Karma Yoga is not given up till the heart becomes purified, this stage is called as Yoga Rurukshu. Okay. So this is called as Yoga Rurukshu. So when this person reaches the stage of, by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, he progresses through the stage of Yoga Rurukshu. Arurukshu means the initial stage. Then when his heart becomes completely purified, then he can meditate on the Paramatma within. So this stage is called as Yoga Ruda. That.
So then in chapter 4, while devotee is performing Nishkam Karma Yoga and receiving the knowledge, so what stage is that then?
Yeah, that's what you have two options. Either you can achieve liberation through Jnana Yoga or you can achieve liberation through Ashtanga Yoga. So Nishkama Karma Yoga, the preliminary stage, is described in 3rd and 4th chapters. And Jnana Yoga was described in the 5th chapter. Ashtanga Yoga is now described in the 6th chapter. So, yeah.
Thank you, Prabhu. Now I kind of got it.
Okay. Okay. Anything else anyone would like to share as add? Yes, Sachi Pranto.
Yes. When I was reading Srila Prabhupada's purpose and Bhagavad Gita and the chapters, so you clarify in the beginning only, he labeled up karma in Krishna consciousness. So karma in Krishna consciousness is bhakti only, na Prabhuji?
Well, yes. Matlab, action in Krishna consciousness is bhakti only. Yeah, basically, essentially, in that chapter also, Prabhupada, even though Arjuna is talking about Jnana Yoga, or more specifically, Grihastha Sannyas, but still, Prabhupada describes Bhakti Yoga only. Yeah. In those verses. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I was reading the notes and also again reading the Prabhupada Gita, so I was getting that. You know, I want to clarify, but I just wanted to clear that out.
Yeah. Anything else? Okay. If there is none, then we will continue our discussion. So now, Krishna continues. Yogi yunjita satatam atmanam rahasi stitah ekaki yata chittatma nirash aparigraha. Yogi, the yoga ruda. So the yoga ruda. So you remember these two terminologies. Yoga rurukshu and yoga ruda. The yoga rurukshu is the early stage of Ashtanga Yoga, and yoga ruda is the advanced stage. Okay. In the Yoga Rurukshu stage, the heart is still unclean. In the Yoga Ruda stage, heart is clean. Okay. So in the Yoga Rurukshu stage, Nishkama Karma Yoga is practiced. And in Yoga Rudesh, Nishkama Karma Yoga is given up. So these two things, two words you have to remember: Yoga Rukshu and Yoga Ruda. Yoga Ruda is the attitude. Okay. The Yoga Ruda, Atmanam Yunjita Satatam, should always absorb his mind in Samadhi. Okay. So, because his heart is now pure, he is capable of doing this. He has the capacity. Because when the heart is filled with mill desires, then he will not be able to focus it on meditating on the super soul. Now that his heart has become purified, he is capable of fixing it in the internal meditation. Therefore, such a person, ekaki rahasi sthitaha, he should be living alone in a solitary place. Yata chitta atma, being controlled in mind and body, nirashir aparigraha, without desire and without possessiveness. So the Yoga Ruda should always absorb his mind in samadhi, living alone in a solitary place, being controlled in his mind and body, without desire and without possessiveness. Okay. So the Yoga Ruda stage is mainly the last three stages of Ashtanga Yoga, which is Dharana, Dhyana, and Samadhi. Like that. So the Yoga Ruda should always absorb his mind in Samadhi, living alone in a solitary place, being controlled in mind and body, without desire and without possessiveness. So here, Srila Vishnachakya Thakur says, the yogi performs yoga with its anga. That description starts with this verse and ends with Sa Yogi Paramo Mataha in verse 32. He who has attained the stages of Yoga Ruda, the stage of steady meditation, should remain engaging the mind in samadhi, in meditating on the Paramavithin. Okay, then he continues. Shuchau deshe pratishtapya stiram asanam atmanah natyuchchitam natinicham chailajina kushotam. So this verse talks about asanam. Tatrekagram manakritva yatachitta indriya kriyaha upavishyasane yunjat yogam atma vishuddaye. Okay. So these are further yoga practices in the early stage for purification. Okay, he says, Atmanah Stiram Asanam Pratishtapya, establishing his own asana. Okay, so which means, that which is very customized for his own comfort, he should fix his asana like that. Shuchau deshe, in a clean place. Na ati uchritam, na ati nicham. It should not be too high and should not be too low. Chaila ajina kusha uttaram, with kusha and then the deer skin and then a cloth on top. So the kusha grass mat should be at the bottom. On top of that, there should be a deer skin, because kusha is auspicious. Deer skin is, it drives away all kinds of insects and other things. And a cloth on top. Tatra upavishya asane, and sitting on that particular asana, ekagram manakritva, concentrating the mind on one point, yata chitta indriya kriyaha, and controlling the activities of the mind and the senses, yogam yunjad, he should engage in yoga, atma vishuddaye, for the purification of consciousness. right? So, like that, so the practice of the yogi is mentioned. You know, what kind of, when he should choose a place for meditation and how that place should be clean, and he should customize his own seat. It should neither be too high nor be too low. The first layer should be a kusha grass, on top of that should be a deer skin, on top of that should be a silk cloth. And sitting on that cloth, he should concentrate the mind on one point, and controlling the activities of the mind and senses, he should engage in yoga for the purification of consciousness, like that. So here he says he establishes his own asana, which has kusha on the bottom, then deer skin, and then finally cloth on top. The yogi engages in meditation for purification of their organ or consciousness, Atma Vishuddhaye. This freedom from disturbance, which makes the internal organ very subtle, is suitable for the direct realization of Brahman. So this is very critical. This freedom from disturbance is very critical for making the internal organ very subtle. Which means it is not disturbed by gross things. It can tune into the subtlest is, you know, the Paramatma. So it can tune into meditation on the Paramatma. The Shruti says, Drishyate tu Agvyaya Buddhya Sukshmaya Sukshmadarshibihi. Paramatma is seen by fine concentrated intelligence by the seers of the subtle. Sukshmadarshibihi Sukshmaya Buddhya Drishyate. So it is seen by people who have that Sukshma Buddhi. Okay. So therefore, these external things are very critical. Otherwise, one will be disturbed by grass things, right? So an insect is coming, crawling on me and all that. So you keep those things away by using a deer skin. Okay. If you are too high, then there is a problem of imbalance. If you are too low, certain things, reptiles, etc., may come and disturb you. If you are not in a solitary place, people won't disturb you. And all of these will keep the intelligence on a grass level. So you have to keep it subtle. So all these things are done. Like that. Okay. Samam kaya shiro grivam dharayan achalam stiraha. Samprekshanasikagram swam dishashtana vokayan prashantatma vigatabihi brahmachari vrate stitaha manasayamya machitto yukta asita matvaraha. I thought I had done this, but somehow these two verses I missed out. Okay, anyways, we will do it now. Okay. Keeping the body, hand and neck straight. Okay, this is samam kaya shiro grivam. Okay, keeping the body, hand and neck straight. Samam kaya shiro grivam dharayan. So dharayan will also come here. This is one. Okay, motionless is achalam. Stiraha is firm. Okay, keeping the body, hand and neck straight, endless and firm. Samprekshan nasikagram swam, gazing at the tip of the nose. Okay, so this is gazing, samprekshya, tip of the nose, nasika agram. Okay, one should focus at the tip of the nose, because to focus at the tip of the nose, you have to keep your eyes half closed. If you close your eyes completely, you cannot see the tip of the nose. If you keep your eyes fully open, still you cannot see the tip of the nose. To see the tip of the nose, you have to keep your eyes half closed. That is looking at the tip of the nose. So if you keep your eyes half closed, then you will neither sleep nor will you be distracted by the objects around you. Right? Discha anavalokayan. Without looking in any other directions. Okay. Prashanta atma. With a peaceful mind. Vigata be. One should be free of fear. Brahmachari vrate stitaha. Following full celibacy. Manaha sanyamya. Withdrawing the mind from the sense objects. And machitto, meditating on me. Okay. Yukta asita. Asita means he is sitting. Yukta means absorbed in meditation. The yogi remains absorbed in matpa, devotion to me. Of course, here one should understand that the devotion is a secondary limb. Devotion as a limb of yoga and not pure devotional service. Okay. So, samam kaya shiro grivam dharayan achalam stiraha sampreksha nasikagram dishaschanavalokayan prashanta atma vigata bihi brahmachari vritesthita manasayamya machitto yukta asita matparaha. So he's talking about further asana and then, you know, pranayama, you know, like looking at the nose and then and all that. So with peaceful mind, fearlessness, celibacy, these are all prerequisites for practicing the process of meditation. So freedom from fear can come only if one gives up material attachments. Because the more we are materially attached, the more leads to fear. The more we become detached, the more we become fearless. So by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, a yogi at the stage of Yoga Rudra has to be fearless, because fearlessness is a symptom of detachment. Right? So, fearless and practice celibacy, withdrawing his mind from the sense objects and meditating on me, the yogi remains absorbed in devotion to me. So, here Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, Kaya refers to the middle section of the body. One should hold the middle of the body, the head and the neck in straight line without movement. Because if it is not in a straight line, then it is not physically conducive to focus. You know, there is a posture which is needed. Even for chanting japa, we talk about posture. Because posture also contributes to, maintaining mental stability. Right? So, therefore, posture is mentioned here. Samam kaya shiro grivam. You know, the neck, the head and the torso should be in the same line. Like that. So he says, withdrawing the mind from sense objects, which is manas sanyamya, which is pratyahara, which is the fifth stage. The yogi remains thinking of me, the beautiful form with four hands, machittaha, absorbed in devotion to me. Matparayana. So here in a footnote, Srila Bhanu Swami Maharaj says, as with jnana, as mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 5.17, yoga must also include bhakti in order to realize Paramatma. So for Paramatma realization, the element of bhakti is essential. That is what is mentioned here as Matparayana. मच्चित्ता मत्परायण मन संयम्य मच्चित्तो युक्त आसीत मत्परः लाइक दैट सो सो जस्ट लाइक द स्टेट ऑफ ज्ञान इन विच द एलिमेंट ऑफ भक्ति वॉज एसेंशियल फॉर रियलाइज द परमात्मा फॉर रियलाइजिंग द परमात्मा Similarly, on the path of yoga also, there is actually a need to practice the element of bhakti for, in order to realize the Paramatma. Like that. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share and add? Okay, if there is none, then we will continue our discussion. कृष्ण कंटिन्यूस युञ्जनेवं सदात्मानं योगी नितमानसः शान्तिं निर्वाण परमां मत्संस्थामधिगच्छति युञ्जन एवं सदा आमानं सदा ऑलवेज युञ्जन एंगेज्ड एवं इन दिस वे आत्मानं वन्स माइंड In this way, constantly engaging the mind in meditation. Okay, there's a question in the chat box. How is that bhakti different from the path of bhakti yoga? So the path of bhakti yoga is purely shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, pada, sevanam. But this element of bhakti that is practiced by an Ashtanga yogi, it is only practiced as a secondary limb. There is not complete dependence on bhakti and there is no exclusive practice of bhakti also. There is practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga in the initial stages. Then there is practice of Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi, apart from practicing the limbs of bhakti. And also, Those eight limbs are practiced primarily and the limbs of bhakti are practiced only secondarily. So, and there is no exclusive dependence on the limbs of bhakti. And also, that this practice is not of the Ashtanga Yogi, is not Anya Abhilashita Shunyam. This practice is for the purpose of attaining liberation. Whereas the Bhakti Yoga that is practiced by devotees, it is for attaining Prema. And that bhakti yoga is jnana karma dhyanavritam also. It is not covered by jnana karma yoga. Whereas this ashtanga yogi's bhakti is exactly bhakti. It is actually yoga with some little element of bhakti, that's all. So it is not exactly the same. Okay, there is another question in the chat box. Does the stage of yoga rudra start after purification through nishkama karma yoga? Yes. Yeah. Yoga rudra starts after purification through nishkama karma yoga. But parallelly, along with nishkama karma yoga, one may actually perform the early stages of yoga, ashtanga yoga, like yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara. Those stages can be practiced along with practice of nishkama karma yoga for purification. But in the Yoga Rudra stage, there is no practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga like that. So here he says, Yunjan evam sada atmanam. In this way, constantly engaging the mind in meditation, niyatam manasaha, because his consciousness is devoid of sense objects, yogi. Adigachati, the yogi attains shantim. In this way, by practice of yoga, gradually the yogi attains destruction of bondage. And what is this stage of destruction of bondage? Nirvana paramam. The platform where liberation and realization of the impersonal Brahman can be attained. Nirvana paramam mat samstam adigachati. He attains destruction of bondage, which is the platform of liberation and realization of the impersonal Brahman. can be attained. Mat samstam, like that. So in this way, by constantly practicing his meditation through the process of Ashtanga Yoga, he can eventually attain destruction of bondage and he can attain personal liberation. Impersonal Brahman, Nirvana Paramam, Matsamstam, Adigachati. So Matsamstam refer to impersonal Brahman. Right? So here he says, Ashila Vishnu Chakadakur, continually engaging the mind in Dhyana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga, because the consciousness is devoid of sense objects, tamanasaha, he then attains the dissolution of samsara, in which supreme liberation can be attained, and in which he attains continuous existence in me as the Vishesha Brahman. Matsamstam. So, the destination of the Ashtanga Yogi is actually merging in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions? That two hands up. Hey, Keshav Priyamati.
Hello, Shrimpruji. Dandavad pranams, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, after the Nishkama Karma Yoga, they are all freed of vasanas, no, Prabhuji? These people, gyanis and yogis. So, from where do they get inspiration to do all this? You are telling many procedures. Do they have guru to guide them? Like, how do they choose whether they want Jnana Yoga or whether they want Ashtanga Yoga? Because all the vasanas are also removed. So, where do they get this inclination, Prabhuji? Who is deciding that what to take, which yoga?
The destruction of vasanas happens later. The inclination for either the path of jnana or yoga, it happens before that only. So, okay. Through association. Any attraction comes through association only. So, they must have had that kind of association, just like we get attracted to particular path of bhakti through association. Similarly, they also may get attracted to either the path of yoga or jnana for attaining their goal of liberation. So then,
Prabhuji, actually, Ashtanga yogis, they will attain the mystic powers also, no, Prabhuji? Anima, Magima, Lagima. All
they
those
can, things. They may attain those as just like practitioners of bhakti also, they attain Shubhada, you know, some levels of happiness and some good qualities and all those things. So similarly, the yogis can also get some mystic powers, but sincere yogis, they are focused on liberation. Just like sincere devotees, they don't get carried away by the intermediate benefits that one may get practice of bhakti. Similarly, sincere yogis will also not get carried away by those mystic siddhis that one may get.
Durvasa Muni all comes under this yogi category, is it, Prabhuji?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he always shows anger, no, Prabhuji. Like, he's also freed of all those things, but vasanas, but he is very famous for showing his anger, no, Prabhuji?
Yeah, he may not be a very, that kind of a perfected yogi, probably.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Sachipuran too.
I just want to clear the doubt that when Ashtanga Yogi received the Paramatma form and still he wanted to, you know, merge in the Nirvishesh Brahman. Mm-hmm. So if that Ashtanga Yogi, after seeing the Paramatma form, get a desire to, can his desire change at that stage, or because he's seeing the Paramatma form, no? But still he wanted to merge in the Nirvishesh Brahman.
Yeah.
So if he desire, can his desire get changed?
If he has the association of devotees and he gets some Sukriti, his desires can change.
Oh. If he gets some association, then then that stage is possible that we get attracted to the personal
feature. It needs some sukriti. So if he has sukriti, then he can change.
Like I was just thinking about Sanat Kumara's. It is mentioned that by the smell of the tulsi from their heart into pure. So at that stage, just a fraction of.
Are you traveling? Your voice is breaking in between.
No, Proji, I'm stationed here only. Yeah. So is it clear now, Proji? Is it clear?
Yeah.
Now?
Yeah.
Firstly, Proji, Sanat Kumara, just by fraction of association, or he has just smelled the tulsi leaf and then their whole mood got changed into pure devotional service.
Yeah, but that was the form of the Lord, Bhagavan. They were not meditating on the form of Paramatma inside that.
Mm-hmm.
So the Paramatma does not exhibit those attractive pastimes. Paramatma Padrashta Anumanta, that's all. So that is one thing. And also the Jaya and Vijaya, by forgiving the four Kumaras, showered their mercy upon the four Kumaras. So therefore, the mercy of Jaya and Vijaya actually attracted the presence of the Supreme Lord. So there was intervention of devotee there.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, okay. There is one hand up. So, Nari.
Prabhuji, as you said, they need some Agyata Sukruti. They need Sukruti, you said. Does it mean that for every person to get to the spiritual association or come to the Bhakti Yoga, they need Sukruti only?
Yeah.
So then it's like it is Sukruti is so then it is always good. No?
Bhaktionmukhi Sukruti. Because piety is also a Sukruti. We are not talking about material Sukruti.
That is what
one
I
mean. It's Bhaktionmukhi Sukruti, not just Sukruti, not material piety. Material piety has nothing to do with Bhakti. Someone may be very pious, he will never take up the Bhakti. So material piety and taking up to Bhakti have absolutely no connection actually.
Hmm.
Okay, so this is where, because this point was brought up, I will just add a slide here and clarify this one point. Okay, this is important. Of course, we have discussed this before, but still it is nothing wrong in discussing it here. Okay. So let's say someone takes up to practice Sakama Karma Yoga. Okay. So that is the beginning of spiritual practice. Okay. So Sakama Karma Yoga has the element of karma and the element of yoga. Sorry, the element of bhakti. Okay. So, just give me 1 second. I'm sorry. Yeah. So, if the karma matures, if the karma part of Sakama Karma Yoga matures, then it leads to Nishkama Karma Yoga. Okay. But if the bhakti part matures, Okay. Then it leads to Sakama Karma Mishra Bhakti. Okay. Kama Karma Mishra Bhakti. Okay. So, like that. So, in here, Nishkama Karma Yoga also has the element of karma and bhakti. Okay. If the karma part matures, then it leads to Jnana Yoga. Okay. But if the bhakti part matures, okay, then it leads to Nishkama Karma Mishra Bhakti. Okay. So now this Jnana Yoga has two parts, Jnana and Bhakti. Here, if the Jnana part matures, okay, I am not putting all the stages because that will make it even more fusing, but I am keeping it simple. Okay. If the Jnana part matures, it leads to Sayujya Mukti. Okay. But if the Bhakti part matures, okay, then it leads to Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Okay. So Jnana Mishra Bhakti also has the limbs of Jnana and Bhakti. Okay. So if the Jnana part matures of Jnana Mishra Bhakti, then it leads to Shantarati. Okay, Shantarati in Vaikuntha. Okay. But if the bhakti part matures, it leads to Shuddha Bhakti. And when Shuddha Bhakti matures, it leads to Prema. Okay. Okay. I wish I had some artistic capacity. I am sorry. I am very artistically challenged. Okay. Now, this is from the Nishkama Karma Yoga's top part. So now, when Nishkama Karma Mishra Bhakti also has two parts, which is karma and bhakti. Okay. If the bhakti part matures, okay, then it leads to actually Shuddha Bhakti. And Shuddha Bhakti matures into Prema. But if the karma part matures, then it leads to Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Okay. Okay. So now, in Sakama Karma Mishra Bhakti, okay, also has two parts, which is karma and bhakti. Okay. Here, if the karma part matures, okay, then it leads to Nishkama Karma Mishra Bhakti. Okay. But if the bhakti part matures, then it leads to Shuddha Bhakti. So then there is Nishkarma Mishra Bhakti. Okay, this is right here. I don't know if, please raise your hands if if any one of you could make any sense out of it, you can just raise your hand. I just want to see. Okay, Sachitra and Prabhu has raised his hand. Anyone else? Keshav Priya Mataji. Anyone else? Shyamali Mataji. Navadvip Chandra Prabhu. Okay, at least four of you could make some sense out of it. Okay, thank you. I will read it once more. Okay. Now, so Sakama Karma Yoga is the beginning of the spiritual practice. Okay, any kind of Vedic practice. So Sakama Karma Yoga, you know that it has two parts. Okay, karma part is there, but bhakti is needed for any practice to give any result, right? So it has karma part and it has bhakti part. So if karma part matures, means there is no further accumulation of sukriti, one perfectly practices the varnashrama duties. So when one practices that, then what happens? The heart becomes somewhat purified and they come to the stage of nishkama karma yoga. Okay. But when bhakti part matures, means what? They get some favorable association and they get some agyata sukriti. Somewhat. Not completely. So when they gain some favorable tiyonmukhi sukriti, then the bhakti element becomes more. When the bhakti element becomes more, even though, so then they become sakama karma mishra bhakta. So in sakama karma yoga, bhakti was secondary, but in sakama karma mishra bhakti, bhakti becomes primary. Okay, like that. So now in this nishkama karma yoga also has karma and bhakti. When the karma part matures, which means with no added sukriti, only if he perfectly practices his nishkama karma yoga, then he will come to the stage of jnana yoga. And when he perfectly performs his jnana yoga, he will attain sahijya mukti. I think that should be clear, right? But for the nishkama karma yogi, by some favorable association, he develops, he accumulates little more sukriti. Okay. Then the bhakti part matures into nishkama karma mishra bhakti. Right? So this nishkama karma mishra bhakti is actually karma mishra bhakti only. This also has karma and bhakti. So if the karma part matures, then karma will become jnana. So karma mishra bhakti will become jnana mishra bhakti. Or if the bhakti part matures, here bhakti is already predominant. By bhakti maturing means he gets further favorable association and Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti becomes Shuddha Bhakti. So then Shuddha Bhakti matures into Prema. Okay. So now, but if the karma part matures, then the Karma Mishra Bhakti will become Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Now Jnana Mishra Bhakti, if Jnana Mishra Bhakti, the Jnana part matures, which means with no added Sukriti, then the Jnana will mature into Shantarati in Vaikuntha. Or if the nishkama or if the bhakti element matures, then Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti becomes Shuddha Bhakti and the Shuddha Bhakti leads to Prema. Like that, you know, you can describe for Sakama Karma Mishra Bhakti also. So this is like the, you know, sort of progress. Those who are raising your hands, Shyamali Mataji and Sachi Prabhu, are you raising because you have some questions or was it for the question which was asked before? Okay, any quick discussion points, questions, comments, anything anyone would like to share at this point? Okay, Shyamali Mataji.
Hari Bhad.
Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, I mean, quite a detailed description, but mm-hmm. I just wanted to know if there are any practical examples of how a Jnana Mishra Bhakta achieved pure devotion. Like, any examples in the Shastras, like personalities, like Mataji spoke about Durvasmani, who mm-hmm. is Ashtanga Yogi, and mm-hmm. whatever. But like that, any examples yeah. of a Jnana Yogi who
became a pure devotee,
Jnana Mishra Bhakta, and then Jnana Mishra Bhakta to Prema, you know, or Shuddha Bhakti.
Well, like those that, kinds of transitions. Those kinds of transitions you will not see in Bhagavatam, but but you will definitely see Jnana Yogis, Yogis, etc., becoming Shuddha Bhaktas by the association. For example, King Prachina Barhi is a classic example of a fully fixed Karma Yogi becoming a devotee by the association of Narada Muni. So that is one example of a Karma Yogi becoming a Shuddha Bhakta by the association of devotees, by the association of Narada Muni. And then you see the case of Navayogis. They were actually Ashtanga Yogis who by association of devotees, they became pure devotees. And the case of the four Kumaras, they are the examples of those who were inclined towards the path of Jnana, they becoming pure devotees by association of Jaya and Vijaya. So like that, there are examples, but Jnana Yogi becoming Jnana Mishrata, those kind of examples you will not see in Bhagavatam actually. Maybe there was a gradual transition like that, but that will not be described in detail in Bhagavatam. One, those who changed from other practices to pure bhakti, that is described in Bhagavatam. But these other details about this transition is described by the acharyas in their explanations. But personal examples in Bhagavatam, as far as I know, I do not know. Maybe they must have had a gradual transition from Karma Yoga to Karma Mishra Bhakti to Shuddha Bhakti. But I don't know exactly that it happened that way or not.
Okay. So because the example is coming up, can you hear me, Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhu, I can hear you.
So, in the example of the four Kumaras, actually, although Jai Vijay get cursed, the actual beneficiaries are the four Kumaras in the whole incident.
Well, you can see them as beneficiaries, or the other way around also. Because if they had not cursed Jaya and Vijaya, they would have achieved prema according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. But because they cursed Jaya and Vijaya, who were Nitya Parshas of the Supreme Lord, therefore they never attained prema, they achieved only Shantarati. So it was like a, if only they had refrained from cursing Jaya and Vijaya, they would have attained something higher. They would have reached the stage of prema actually and established a full-fledged relationship with the Supreme Lord. But that never happened. It never blossomed into a full-fledged relationship with the Supreme Lord. It became a very stunted relationship, a very distant relationship with the Supreme Lord on the level of Rati or Bhava only. It never matured prema. So like that.
Okay.
And Jaya and Vijaya, in their case, they wanted to go and assist the Supreme Lord in his chivalrous pastimes, in his fighting pastimes. So that desire was fulfilled through the agency of the four Kumaras by the Supreme Lord. So for them, they were actually beneficiaries only, because they wanted to give that pleasure to the Supreme Lord by fighting with him. they got that opportunity through the agency of the four Kumaras. Otherwise, the curse, you know, cursed by such people cannot add Nitya Parshadas. It is not at all possible. So it is only Jay and Vijay's desire getting fulfilled through the agency of the four Kumaras, like that. Is that okay, Prabhu? I think somehow Shyamalal Prabhu, okay. Yeah, you got muted.
Okay, that explanation was wonderful. Thank you, Prabhu.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Vrajarade Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes,
Prabhuji, this Jnana Yoga, which you said that when the Jnana matures, Ayujya Mukti, and then the Bhakti matures, it becomes Jnana Mishra Bhakti. So that means in Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Bhakti is predominant than Jnana?
Yeah.
It is Pradhani Bhut Bhakti.
Jnana Mishra
Bhakti is Pradhani
Bhut. That is why it is called as Bhakti. If it ends with Bhakti, that is Pradhani Bhut.
Whenever we are saying that Bhakti is maturing, means they are getting association of devotees. Right?
Yeah. Only that
everywhere, wherever the Bhakti is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or they chose to perform that Jnana Yoga in a place like Vrindavan, and the effect of that dham also enriches them by it enhances the element of bhakti in their practice, and automatically that Jnana Yoga gradually became Jnana Mishra Bhakti, like that. That is also possible, and there may be people going around chanting Radhe Radhe, and maybe they got prasadam like that. That way, somehow they accumulated more sukriti. So depending on how much sukriti they accumulate, it may become either Jnana Mishra Bhakti or Shuddha Bhakti. So if it becomes Shuddha Bhakti, then they will no longer perform Jnana Yoga and aspire for Sahajya Mukti. Then they will practice Shuddha Bhakti and aspire for Prema, like that.
That means that this stage of Jnana Mishra Bhakti is compulsory for those Jnana Yogis who are getting association of devotees, or they are, if they are practicing Jnana Yoga in Dham. So this stage is compulsory for everyone, Jnana Mishra Bhakti stage, or directly they can...
Not necessarily. They may get fully purified and directly take up to Shuddha Bhakti also.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. There are some questions in the chat box. Okay. Dhruvasa Muni behaves in a way which Krishna wants. Yeah, that is also true. Sometimes Dhruvasa Muni acts like that also for aiding the pastime. That is also correct. In this whole flowchart, who gets the other types of mukti, like Sarupya Mukti? Okay, this is a good question. Okay. So, for the Nishkama Karma Mishra Bhakta, there are two, actually, you are right. There is one more thing. If that karma does not mature into jnana, but directly attains perfection, then Nishkama Karma Mishra Bhakti can... it leads to Salokya Mukti. Salokya Sarshti, like that. That also is... So this is the complete thing. Anyways, I made it little complex because maybe I think someone made a chart of this. I forgot. Maybe I will see if I can find that out. Because this looks like complete kichdi. Even if I look at it, I can't make any head or tail of it. So, yeah. I think someone made a flowchart of it, when I described somewhere else. I will try to find out if I can get that flowchart, or I myself will try to make one. Yeah. Anyways, so here we have been discussing about the practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga. So we will see. Yunjanevam sadamanam yogi niyatamanasah shantim nirvana paramam mat samstam adigacchati. So he says that constantly engaging the mind in meditation, because his consciousness is devoid of sense objects, yogi attains destruction of bondage, the platform where liberation and realization of the impersonal Brahman can be attained. So, yes. Now, let's continue. Then, talking about practice of yoga, he says, Natyashnatastu yogosti nachaikantam anashnatah nachati swapnashilasya jagrato naiva charjuna na ati ashnatastu yogo asti. Yoga is not possible for one who eats too much. Nacha ekantam anashnatah, or one who does not eat sufficiently. Okay. Too much eating also will be an obstacle to practicing yoga, any yoga for that matter, including bhakti yoga. And if one eats too less, insufficient for properly maintaining one's body, then also it will become an obstacle for practicing yoga. Nacha ati swapna shilasya. Yoga is not possible for one who sleeps too much. Jagrato naiva charjuna, or one who does not sleep sufficiently also. So, one should not artificially try to cut down. This is so far even Ashtanga yoga, which actually puts a great premium on austerity. If this is so with Ashtanga yoga, then how much more it should be for Bhakti yoga. One should not form unnecessary austerities, but at the same time, one should not neglect necessary austerities also. Right? So in the name of Bhakti, one should not end up eating everything and unlimitedly. And in the name of Bhakti, one should not perform non-sanctioned austerities also. So austerities in the form of eating too less or sleeping too less, one should get sufficient sleep. It's not that one cuts down on sleep but feels sleepy during japa, hearing, one is not able to concentrate. One should take sufficient sleep, which will keep them fresh and enthusiastic for their services and sadhana. So that much sleep one should get. Anything less than that is not favorable for their bhakti. In the name of becoming more advanced, one should not unnecessarily cut down on their eating what is necessary and sleep which is necessary for them to remain fresh and enthusiastic and healthy in Krishna's service. So two verses describe the rules for making practice of yoga steady. Who eats too much is not a yogi. It is said, Purayed Ashanenardam Tritiyam Udakenatu Vayoho Sancharanartam Tu Chaturtam Avasheshayed. This is probably some kind of an Ayurveda verse, or maybe it must be from the Yoga Shastras. Maybe Sunar Sakhi Mataji may be able to comment on this. He says, Purayed Ashanen Ardam. One should fill the stomach half with food. Tritiyam Udakenatu. The third one-fourth, the third quarter should be with water. Chaturtam, and the fourth quarter, Vayoho Sancharanartam Avasheshet. One should leave the fourth quarter for the movement of air. So this is healthy eating. So what does it mean to not overeat? Half of the stomach must only be filled with food. and 1/4 with water, 1/4 for the movement of air. If we eat like this, then one can practice yoga peacefully. Is this a verse from Ayurveda, or maybe there must be a similar verse in Ayurveda also? Is Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji, this is Ayurveda slope, and the same like how it is mentioned over here, that half of the stomach should be to the food and 1/4 for the water, and 1/4 should be kept empty for the air to move, so that the digestion happens nicely. Because we know for any fire to be lit up, it needs air, oxygen. We have done the experience of our school. So like that, our agni in the stomach also, it also need that air. And if we eat too much, then the food doesn't like mix nicely and it doesn't get digested properly. So practically, what we tell, because how one will know na, that the half is full with the like the heavy the food, and 1/4 is empty. So food and like when you are eaten, and actually the pace of the eating should be slow, not too slow also, not too fast also. And when you have done, you feel, you get that feeling of satisfaction.
Belching.
Yeah, not belching. It, like you feel the satisfaction, and also you should be able to move. And it should not be like give discomfort and walk very nicely without any discomfort in bending down or walking around like that. So that is one of the thing you can say. But
this is a practical tip for knowing when you have half stomach.
Yeah. Otherwise, what happens? But for that also, sometimes what happens? For that now, Prabhuji, it is very important to follow all the all the basic rules. Like you should not delay the food, otherwise you will be very hungry, and then if you are very hungry, then you will not get the satisfaction, and you will still like to eat more because your brain will not get that sugar, no? So you will not kill. So all that basic rules should be followed. Then that is why yoga is always balancing.
Yes, thank you, Mataji. This was very because otherwise this will remain a theoretical thing. How do we know that only half stomach is full? So this was a very right point that you said. You should be able to move around and bend very freely without any discomfort. That much food, then that is eating half stomach. Then you fill 1/4 with water and 1/4 for the movement of the food around, like that.
And then that satisfaction of it comes, like you feel that hunger and the body tissues, no? That sarpan feeling, that feeling of that nourishment, no? That should be like that santushti. That is what we say after prasadam. Aap santushti ho gaye, that is what.
Yeah.
It is very important. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Mataji. This was very useful. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. So that was very practical guidelines from a practitioner Ayurveda. So yeah. So let us try to put it into practice, because we are also practicing yoga, bhakti yoga. For bhakti yoga also, this is important. This is not just for Ashtanga yoga. Prabhupada says that for bhakti yoga also one should eat like this. If one eats like this, then because if we tend to overeat, then we tend to feel very sleepy and lethargic, and it actually is not very good for health. Yes, Ramacharya Prabhu.
Prabhuji, so the whole teaching of Ashtanga Yoga, we see as a separate pathway or separate topic or should we include or make it inclusive towards Bhakti Yoga? Because in third canto, when Kapil Dev is talking to his mother, I mean, mm-hmm. he's using all the limbs of Ashtanga Yoga towards Bhakti. Like, for example, you know, how you can meditate and take everything, you know, and eat that in Bhakti. So here, the question that
he doesn't say that. No, no. Third canto, 28th chapter, what he describes is actually Ashtanga Yoga. Because he sir asks about the practices of other yoga also. So therefore, in third canto, 26th and 27th chapter, he describes about Jnana Yoga. In third canto, 28th chapter, he describes about Ashtanga Yoga. And in third canto, 20th chapter and 29th chapter, he describes about Shuddha Bhakti. So,
but I heard in one of the lecture that from one of the, you know, in fact, sannyasi, that these limbs of Ashtanga Yoga can be also easily used in Bhakti, like you just mentioned,
eating
half stomach and that, all of that.
Yeah, those principles can be adopted in the mode of Anlesa Sankalpo Pratikulyasya Varjanam. One can incorporate these principles, principles which are anukul for bhakti. Like, for example, you know, the principles of keeping the body fit, you know, for practicing, you know, practicing meditation, you know, to keep the body and mind fit, certain things are there, which if they don't work our bhakti, we can incorporate them in our own practices also. So, so this fine. So like, for example, here it is mentioned about eating. So those kind of principles are applicable for Bhakti Yoga also. But that does not mean we are incorporating Ashtanga Yoga. But by accepting some favorable aspects of that for proper practice of Bhakti, then those becomes the secondary limbs of devotional service only. Like that.
Oh, okay. Yes, okay, Prabhu. In that way. So use where it's useful. That's how the simple form to see it. See, it's a simple form that apply whatever is applicable or makes sense towards Bhakti Yoga.
Yeah, yeah. And provided it does not cover our appreciation of the limbs of Bhakti. Okay. So, like, for example, someone says, someone may feel that, okay, I do some pranayama and it helps me focus on my chanting nicely. That is very good. Then that practice of pranayama is a limb of bhakti for that person. Because the secondary limbs, you cannot say, then the person sitting next to you, he doesn't perform pranayama. Okay. And then he is chanting. So, and we may think that, oh, he didn't perform pranayama, which he must not be concentrating on the holy name. So if we think like that, then we are thinking that pranayama has become for us a primary limb of bhakti. Which means then that is mixed faith. So prana, what one should understand is, okay, performance of pranayama is helping me somewhat control my mind so that I can focus on my holy name. But that does not mean someone who is not doing pranayama is not able to focus on the holy name. Because the secondary limbs are favorable. But they are not non-negotiable. So pranayama is a secondary limb. So when we make that non-negotiable, then our faith becomes mixed. So when you say that, oh, without pranayama, you can never focus on the holy name, then it becomes mixed devotional service. Then you are actually making a limb of yoga as non-negotiable for bhakti. That is unfavorable. But that does not mean anyone who does some pranayama before chanting the holy name you cannot say that that person is actually practicing Mishra Bhakti. No, he is practicing Shuddha Bhakti only. But you may say that, oh, but how come he is practicing Pranayama? That's okay. He is practicing Pranayama that he can somewhat focus his mind and chant the holy name nicely. So that means mixed devotional service. No, not necessarily. Then you have to ask him, Prabhuji, ye aapka baju wala hai, the person next to you, he's not doing Pranayama. Do you think he can focus on the holy name? So if he says, oh yeah, why not? For me, Pranayama helps me to focus. He may be trying to focus focus on the holy name by some other process. He may not need Pranayama. If that is his understanding, then his practice of Pranayama is not mixed devotional service. But if someone thinks, oh, without Pranayama, you can never focus on the holy name, then that is mixed devotional service. Does it make sense?
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you so much. I don't know how you get this type of realization. I really appreciate it. It's a very clear concept, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Dhanwad. I got it now.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. So, this is about regulation. And there is one more verse about regulation. We have still more minutes. So, let me complete that one verse also. So, here, this is a famous verse. Yuktahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta swapnava bodhasya yogo bhavati dukkaha. Okay. Yukta ahara viharasya. If one has regulated eating, vihara means actually recreation, but Srinath Chakravarti Thakur says for devotees, vihara means walking, regulated walking. Okay. So walking is a bona fide recreation for devotees according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Right? One who has regulated eating, yukta ahara and yukta vihara. Regulated eating and regulated walking. Yukta cheshtasya karmasu and regulated use of organs in both material and spiritual activities. Material activities means, you know, for maintaining the body, for maintaining the family, for professional purposes, and in spiritual activities, then yukta swapna avabodhasya. If one is regulated in his sleep and regulated in waking up, many times devotees try to regulate their waking up, but they don't try to regulate their sleep. This is very bad, actually. And we almost never try to regulate our eating or our walking. Right. So for such a person, yoga bhavati dukkaha. Only when yoga is practiced in this way, yoga destroys all suffering. Yoga destroys all suffering only if one is regulated in his eating, regulated in his walking, regulated in the use of his organs in both material and spiritual activities, regulated in his sleep and regulated in his waking up. So without regulating sleep, don't regulate waking up, because then we will suffer. We will have bodily problems. So one day we will, you know, it's not that you sleep at 12 o'clock and try to wake up at 4 o'clock every day. You know, that is unfavorable. You know, if you want to wake up at 4 o'clock, then we should go to bed at 10 o'clock. Then that kind of a practice of yoga, dukkaha, it will destroy all suffering. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments here. Here he says, yukta here means controlled. One who controls eating and walking, ahara and vihara, and controls actions such as speech, during execution of both material and spiritual duties, performs yoga, which destroys suffering. So, maybe we may, you know, next time when we meet, we can request maybe Sonar Sakhi Mataji or Nirmal Chandra Prabhu to give a very brief discussion about, you know, very, of course, these things are definitely very custom made for people according to their prakriti, bodily constitution, but generic understanding according to Ayurveda about what is yukta ahara and what is yukta swapna and yukta avabodha, what is in general accepted regulated sleep and regulated waking up. Maybe some brief points, maybe next time when we meet we will request them to speak on that. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will continue this discussion next day. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.